Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu. Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and today we take up the topic of selecting and growing orchids with Wayne King of Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. Teaches classes in orchid growing, a past president of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison's, current member, obviously, as well, and has been with us a number of times to talk about growing orchids. And certainly they're beautiful plants to have, and you'll have a chance as well to learn about the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison hosting of the Orchid Quest 2007. That's coming up this Saturday and Sunday, February 3rd and 4th. We'll talk with him certainly about that as well. But if you have questions about growing orchids, or maybe you've got some orchids now and, you know, wonder why things aren't going maybe the way they should, or maybe they are going great and you want to comment on that as well, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call. Wayne, nice to have you back.
Well, Larry, thank you. I was just checking my records. I noticed this is the ninth year for me to do this.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I'm really delighted John Moses passed this on to me at that time, because this has been a great, you know, fun for me.
Well, it's fun to have you along, and I think I ask you this every time you're on, but how many orchids do you personally have in your home? And do you know for sure? Or?
Well, I can't give you a definite number, because it's a little bit like the number, species number worldwide. It keeps changing all the time, but approximately 700.
That's amazing. Your house must be.
Well, they're in the windows, they're in the basement, and I have a small greenhouse that I heat, so they're also there. So I move them around to try to find the right place for each orchid.
Well, is the let's talk about the Orchid Growers Guild first. Sure. Here. What's the purpose of that organization?
Well, the purpose primarily is to do what we're doing here today, and that is to educate people who are interested in growing orchids, who might be interested in growing orchids. We have monthly meetings, mm-hmm. in which we have programs, usually from experts in various orchid growing fields. We have an opportunity to socialize. There are lots of things that you could do in the orchid field, and we've had people from practically all different areas, such as the arts. We have painters and that have been members, and then photographers, and of course some growers, and always people who are just interested in knowing more. And so we cover all of that, and then we started at Westtown Mall with our shows, and that was, I believe, in 1986.
Okay.
So that was over 20 years ago, and that proved to be very popular, and eventually it got moved to the Alliant Energy Center, and it gave us an opportunity to broaden our educational exposure by, you know, people being able to talk with vendors, people who are knowledgeable, providing special programs on orchid growing, and also a large number of orchid displays with probably over 1,000 plants of many different varieties, colors, and so on. And so that's been quite a success. Yeah.
My wife and I have been there many times, and I don't think we've ever been there when we didn't walk away with at least one orchid.
Yeah. And I think that's it is an addictive kind of thing, or it can be. In fact, several books have been written on that subject.
Well, I find that at least we've had some troubles or problems with one orchid or another, but for the most part, they're pretty hardy.
Well, if you choose the right plants, I think you're right, providing you have the right conditions. And the problems with orchids, especially growing them in the home or in the greenhouse, is that you need the right conditions, as with anything else. And where people tend to fall down on growing is where they just assume that they can, you know, an orchid is hardy, and so they can bring it in, and it'll grow anywhere and under any conditions, and they don't have to do much with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other problem is that some people just love them to death, and water them every day and never repot them, and, you know, so on and so forth.
So they're, you need to pay a little attention.
Well, absolutely. And you need eventually, and that's why education is so important, and I think that's where the Guild plays such a key role. In addition to people reading, you know, whatever books, and there are lots of books, as you mentioned, on orchid growing, because there are such a variety of orchids, there are such a variety of growing conditions. Some orchids that people just love, including myself, I simply can't produce the right conditions to keep them going, and it's disappointing because I'm sure many people have had this experience where they see a particular orchid and they just got to have it and they got to grow it, and they just don't have the right conditions. And
what is often, does that vary a lot, or is there one thing that is often missing that people forget about, or could it be a variety of things?
Well, it could be a variety of things, but if we focus on the types of orchids that are commonly found, the moth orchid or Phalaenopsis orchid, the Cattleya orchid, which some people refer to as the corsage orchid because it used to be that, you know, corsages were commonly made from the Cattleyas. There are a few things. One needs to know temperature, about the right temperatures. Some people, you know, expose them to too much heat or too much cold. The Phalaenopsis is a houseplant.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they like temperatures between about 65 and 80 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Don't particularly like to be grown outside. People need to be aware that they need to have the potting mix changed at least annually, because the potting mix is not the type you usually find with house plants. It usually consists of some wood chips and perlite and charcoal and a number of different things that do, especially with the wood chips, degrade over time and turn to soil, and then that limits the air passage through the mix.
Yeah, listening to that, you need a sort of an airy, those roots need air to breathe.
Exactly, and that's one of the, use the expression going to pot. An orchid goes to pot when it's been in the potting mix too long without being repotted, and the potting mix retains a lot of moisture, and that leads to root rot because, as you say, there's not enough air moving through the mix anymore. And so I always advise people after a year or when their plant's not doing well to unpot it, check the roots to see if they're mushy, which means they're starting to rot, get the mushiness out of there, and then repot them in a fresh mix, and usually they'll do better.
One of the questions we often get is, you know, I bought this flower, and we'll say orchid in this case, and it flowered really well for a long time, and then, you know, of course, as all flowers do, it lost its flower, and now I can't get it to come back and, you know, and flower again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a problem. I hear of that often, and one of the mysteries in all of this is, of course, when we pick up an orchid and we pick one out, whether it's at a garden center or a building place like Lowe's or Home Depot or something of this sort that carry them, you don't know how they've been grown. And oftentimes growers will just stick their plants in a sphagnum moss or something like that as something that's quick and easy for them, and then they ship it off, and it gets sold that way. And when we, the unwitting buyers, take those plants in, we have really literally no way of knowing how they were grown.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're in sphagnum moss, that is particularly a problem. Sometimes they already come with root rot, but we don't see it until you take it out of the pot and take off the sphagnum moss and see it. So I usually advise people, you know, after a plant stops blooming, they need to repot it in fresh mix, And taking care of those roots is really the first thing to do. And after that, as far as blooming is concerned, once you've got a healthy plant, then there are a number of things you can do to help the blooming.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Wayne King today about selecting and growing orchids. We're also talking about Orchid Quest that's coming up this Saturday and Sunday at the Alliant Energy Center Exhibition Hall. There'll be a lot of people there and a lot of orchids. And your opportunity not only to buy orchids, but all the other things associated with raising them, the various mixes and fertilizers and so forth. So if you'd like to join in with a question or comment now, you're welcome to do that. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions or comments as we talk orchids today with Wayne King.
Larry?
Yeah.
I should insert that the show is February 3rd and 4th. It's not this weekend.
I'm sorry. Here, I kept saying
just,
this weekend.
Times flies. But just so people
weekend.
Don't go and try to find it this weekend, it's the 3rd and 4th.
And I have that right in front of me. And why I was thinking that this weekend was February 3rd and 4th. It's a good thing because my wife and I would have shown up and wondered where everybody was. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, okay, February 3rd and 4th, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. That's the time to go to that. And maybe we could talk a little bit about we talked about flowers and so forth, the orchids that are going to be there, but there are a lot of educational kinds of things that are fun to participate in as well.
Well, there is, and they change every year. So if you were there to experience some of the earlier educational programs in previous years, there are a lot of differences this year. And what I'm kind of excited about, which starts, there's a seminar that starts at 11:30 Saturday morning, is titled Door County's Orchid Paradise. And it's basically a talk about the Ridges Sanctuary in Door County.
Oh.
And I think maybe you've been there.
Larry. I have been there on more than one occasion. It's a wonderful place to visit. And you'll find orchids there.
Absolutely. You'll find all sorts of orchids there. There's about two dozen orchid vendors, all of whom, or most of whom, come with orchid plants for sale from as far away as Connecticut and, of course, around the Midwest. And then there are about two dozen displays of blooming orchid plants. So there are literally thousands of plants there all weekend for people to, enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a call. Don in La Crosse, we go to you now. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Great show.
Thank you.
Okay. I got a couple orchids, and I got one growing in just bark mixture. And I've got another one growing in a spag of moss with a little bit of bark on. And they're both doing great. And they bloomed like mad last year. And they quit blooming. And should I have cut them stalks back? I cut some back, but they had offshoots coming off them. Should I have cut them off, shoots off also? They have buds on right now.
Well, Don, if they have buds, then the answer is no. You don't want to cut them off. I assume these are Phalaenopsis orchids?
Yes, they are.
Phalaenopsis are peculiar in the sense that their genetics determines what happens with those flower spikes on them. Some, after they flower, those flower spikes will dry up and die all the way back, and then they can be cut off. But others, on other types, the spikes stay green, and they can rebloom. And it sounds like you have the latter type, where the old flower spike stays green, and you're going to be probably having additional buds and flowers from those same spikes.
Okay. Now, how about the mix? Now, the one plant I've got, I got about 8 sets of leaves on it right now, and it's sticking about 3 inches out of the dirt with the roots coming out. I mean, out of the mixture, the bark mixture. Now, I probably should put that in a deeper pot, right?
Yeah, I would say do that. And now, when did you last repot it?
I think it was about 2 years ago.
Well, then I think it's due for repotting anyway. And one of the first and most important steps in repotting is to check the roots When you pull a plant out of its pot, check the roots to make sure you got good, firm roots. If you've got any that are looking a little mushy, remove them.
Okay.
And make sure you're using a nice potting mix. You mentioned fir bark, and that's good mix because it allows a lot of air to move through it.
Yeah. And I have a lot of what they call these air roots coming out of them. Just leave them go?
Leave those go. That's all fine.
Do I put them in the pot or just leave them on the outside?
If it's convenient to put any into the pot, be careful because, in fact, I would suggest what you do is soak them in water until they're real green.
Okay.
And they become more pliable. If they tend to be to break easily if you try to bend them too much. And if they're green and wet, they will bend a little more easily. So kind of be careful when you try to do that. It doesn't matter whether they're in the mix or not, but it probably looks better the fewer aerial roots you have.
Okay. The one I got, I bought this at the Garden Expo last year, 2 years ago, and it's got that kind of a sphagnum moss type in them.
Yeah.
How often do I have to water that? Because it feels pretty damp right now.
Is it straight sphagnum moss, or are there other?
No, they have a few bark chips on the top.
Uh huh.
But the sphagnum moss is, it feels like it's probably partial all the way down.
Yeah, well, and you've been growing in that for how long now?
It's about 2 years for that
about
one there,
2 years. There again, and particularly with that one, because sphagnum moss can be touchy to grow in. It can either stay too wet or dry out too quickly. I would check the roots on that. Now, if everything is, the roots look good, well, I say don't fix it if it isn't broken.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
What causes my blossoms to fall, the buds fall off all the time? Not enough fertilizer?
They fall off all the time, and how?
Well, not all. Well, once they set and they start swelling up,
yeah,
then they're okay. But before they set, like I got some right now, or it's got little tiny buds on there turning brown, and mm-hmm. they'll fall off.
Mm-hmm. And these are pretty good sized plants.
Oh yeah, the one's got to be at least 3 feet tall.
Yeah, it sounds like they're very mature plants. Sometimes the reason that the young buds fall off is that the plant recognizes that it doesn't have the energy to sustain or support all of those buds.
Okay.
So depending on how floriferous it is, it may just abort buds because it can't. It's putting its energy into, the ones that are developing.
Yeah, because I have three shoots coming off this one plant, so with buds on all three shoots. So.
Well, that's great.
I must be doing something.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot for calling, Doug.
Okay.
Appreciate it very much. Wayne King, our guest today, we're talking with him about selecting and growing orchids on this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking orchids today with Wayne King of Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, member of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison. Pleased to have him with us, and thank you for listening in. And lots of questions online, so we'll go right back to our phones. Bill in Cobb, you're next. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling.
I'm on a cell phone. I'm down in Prairie du Chien. I hope we don't lose connection here. I just got a question for you. Is the corn plant in any relation to the orchid?
Is the corn plant related to the orchid, Wayne?
Not directly, but there are some very unusual plants that are related to the orchid, and this was only discovered in the past few years from DNA analysis.
I got a corn plant. I've had it for quite a few years, and we have 9-foot ceilings in our house, and this corn plant has grown clear to the top of the ceiling. At nighttime, it's got a ball on the top of it about 4, maybe 5 inches in diameter, and then only at night, this thing will bust out with little tiny, looks like little miniature orchids, and the whole house just smells really strong, fragrant smell.
Hmm.
And but it only blooms, at night in the dark.
Huh. Were you you were talking about a plant that looks like corn?
Yeah, not the field corn, I guess. This is another corn plant. Oh, we lost him. That's too bad. But, Wayne, you had some interesting information on DNA analysis.
Well, yes, and an interesting question. I had always read that the corn of the – here I am. Now I'm on corn. Mm-hmm. That the orchids are most closely related to lilies because they have parallel veining and other similarities. And there was an article that appeared in the New York Times a few years back that talked about the results of some DNA analysis. And they said that orchids were found to be in a scientific grouping called Aspergillus, which includes, amongst other things, amaryllis, onions, irises, daffodils, agaves, and yuccas, or yuccas. So it really was
boy.
Kind of a surprise because most of us, when we look, we don't see much relationship in appearance between those plants.
But that's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
Myrtle in Madison, you are next. Hi, Myrtle.
Hello. I have a question about a orchid that I'm keeping for my neighbor. She left on Monday for several months. And this orchid is in the process of dying. On it is a tag that says L-E period M-A-R-I-S song. And she keeps it in semi-light. And I brought it to my house, and I'm going to keep it in the sun. And I was wondering if that's what I should be doing with it.
The name on it again was L-E-M-A-R?
L-E period M-A-R-I-S song, S-O-N-G.
Okay. That is, should be L-C, and that's an abbreviation for Lelia catlia. And the name of the orchid is Marie's Song.
Okay, thank you.
That's just shortened form.
Okay.
So now you were saying that the plant was dying?
Yes, it has about five or six stalks that are dead, and it has one green leaf left on it.
Oh. And it was in partial sun, and now you have it in full sun?
Well, I brought it over yesterday, and today I have it in full sun.
And what makes you think that the stalks are dead?
Because they're brown.
Okay, they're brown.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to know what to do now?
Right. I want to know if I can revive this orchid.
Well, how many stalks are green?
One. Well, two, actually. One has a leaf, and then there's
the other one doesn't.
One other green stalk.
Okay, I'd say you're in marginal shape. What you need to do, usually we say that you should have three, they're called pseudobulbs, but we can call them stalks for this purpose.
Okay.
You should have three because they provide a basis for future growth, and so you want, you know, enough strength there. You have two, which is the reason I say is marginal. Now, what you do need to do, though, is there any new growth on the plant right now?
No, there isn't.
Okay.
Not that I can see.
Okay. You need to cut back the watering if you're watering quite a bit. I suspect that probably it hasn't been repotted for quite a while, which is maybe why it...
I think she bought it this year, early spring down in Florida.
Okay, and it may have been in that potting mix for some time before that even. I think what you need to do is keep it fairly on the dry side. You can give it plenty of light because, you know, that's a cattleya type, and they like a fair amount of light. The
okay.
south window would be fine, but not too close to the glass, where it might get a lot of cold nights.
Okay.
When and if you get new shoots growing, mm-hmm. new roots, that's the time to repot. What you would then do is remove all of the old brown dead growth. So you're just going to have two growths. So you want to repot that in a potting mix. And just about the time that the new roots are coming out, the new shoots are starting.
Okay.
And that gives you your best chance of reviving this plant and getting it to grow on.
Okay. And how about fertilizer?
At this point, no fertilizer. We only fertilize orchids when you have new growth. That helps to boost the new growth.
Okay. And should it be 10-10-10 or 20... 2020?
When you get to the point you have new growth and you're going to use fertilizer, balanced is good, 10-10-10, 20-20-20, that's all fine.
Okay.
About 1/4 teaspoon per gallon of water.
Oh.
So it takes a very light fertilizer solution.
Okay. Well, wish me luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, we do wish you that.
Thanks a lot, Myrtle.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I appreciate the call. Bob in Eau Claire, you're next. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Well, I called to see if I didn't hear about the third and the fourth. Are they going to have, like, hands-on seminars for people for, the vitality of the orchids? This is what you look for, this and that. And I know they're going to have them for sale. I'm going to try to get down there, but it's a long drive for me. I'm having kind of this phenomenal luck lately with my orchids, and I never had them before. I always kind of over-tended them, and they would rot away. But I have them in a west window right now, and I have Oncidium with like a 48-inch spike with 60 blossoms on it right now, and I've got this crazy Miltonia thing I didn't think I could ever do anything with. Got a 20-inch spike on it, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Phalaenopsises that are going, and I used to kill them, but now I kind of like kind of lay back on them now a little bit.
So why are you calling?
Well, I just wanted to brag. But what I do is in the spring, I take them outside and put them underneath a tree I have, and they get dappled sunlight all day and some bright sunlight, and I leave them out there till it's like I'm afraid they're going to freeze. And as soon as I bring them in, they start setting.
Well, absolutely the right thing to do. They love to have the fresh air and the dappled sunlight in the summer. As soon as the temperatures average probably not below 50 at night, especially for the Oncidium, because that's a warmer grower. And so you're doing the right thing. Now, do you need to know more? The answer to that question is always yes. And as far as Orchid Quest is concerned and your interest there, on Saturday, February 3rd at 1 o'clock, there is a real good session conducted by Herman Pigores of Oak Hill Gardens. Orchid Pots, Orchid Media, and Orchid Feeding is his subject. And then at 1 o'clock on Sunday, members of the Orchid Growers Guild field growing questions from members of the audience, and there often is a lot of information that's exchanged there as well.
So those are a couple of things that you would be able to take part in.
Oh, thank you very much.
Bob, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. We've got open lines. Get you on pretty fast. Kay in New Glarus, you are next. Hi, Kay.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to share a little story about my Cymbidium that I bought 5 years ago and was blossoming at the time and never did anything since. I took it in, had it, it's split into two plants, and my husband was telling me to get rid of them because they're so ugly and all that kind of stuff. And this fall, they started setting bud, and a couple weeks ago, I had one of them that had 14 blossoms on it. And I was sitting here, and it was staked and everything, and I was sitting here, and all of a sudden I heard this creaking noise, and the blossom, the whole thing had broken off.
Oh.
Except for one blossom was still on the plant. But now I actually have the second plant is also blossoming, and I have 15 blossoms on it, well, 10 open and five buds. And I'm just saying that people, if they think that something's going to die or it's just ugly, hang in there. It might come around yet.
That's a wonderful story.
I was just heartbroken when the whole stock broke off.
Well, I don't want to tell you about my horror stories because that's kind of common thing, I'm afraid. There's so many ways in which accidents can happen once plants go into flower. Do you have any suggestions to share with the listening audience on how you were successful with the Cymbidiums?
No, actually, I had them outside this summer, as I did last summer. They actually are probably pretty pot-bound right now because, they are pot-bound. They haven't been repotted for probably 3 years. And if they do come to bud, I would strongly suggest staking them well. Because the blossoms, when you get that many blossoms on a stem, it's heavy.
Very good. And you mentioned keeping it outside.
Yeah.
and Cymbidians particularly really do like, again, the outdoor conditions, and well into the fall, actually. They don't mind temperatures that go down into the upper 30s or lower 40s. And, in fact, they often, many of them will set buds at those temperatures and only then.
Yes, I did keep it outside quite late. And then when I did bring them in, because they're not, I mean, the plants themselves are not exactly beautiful. We have our basement's got big windows in it and everything. So it was, I put them in like a west window. So they were still getting, you know, some light down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that helped. I don't know. But right. And it took forever. Once they did set bud, or the stalk started growing, it took quite a while for the buds to actually open.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, just something to pass on.
Thanks, Kay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. And on to Jody in Green Bay. Jody, hi.
Hi. I believe it's a Phalaenopsis, and it's gone through one blooming period, and now I don't know what to do with it. It's got the stalk yet, and it's brown, and I don't know if the whole plant is, if it's viable or not. So what do I do?
Well, let's talk about the plant. What is it? How many leaves do you have on it? Does it look healthy?
There are no leaves on it.
Uh-oh.
That's
no
not
leaves.
Good.
Okay, we're in a desperate rescue situation here.
Okay.
First thing you got to do is unpot it.
Okay.
You got it, and then you got to check the root system. I have a feeling that you're going to find a lot of root rot in there.
Okay.
You're going to have to remove any roots that are mushy, and you may have just one or two or very few that are healthy. And I assume that the leaves, you know, what happened with the leaves is they just turned yellow and fell off. Is that right?
I think they turned brown.
Okay. Okay. Then you're going to have to find a way, and you don't necessarily have to repot this plant. You can, but you need to put it in a much smaller container because you're going to have fewer roots.
All right.
And you're going to have to put it in a fresh mix so that it doesn't get, you know, part of the problem also, I think, was that it was just too moist and it caused root rot. So you need to probably put it in, get some sphagnum moss, put it in a bag, put the plant in a bag so that you can keep the humidity around the plant, and hope that the growing point, which is where the leaves originate, wasn't damaged or rotted out in the process. If it's still healthy from the growing point onward, then you should get some new root and leaf growth, but it's going to take quite a while now.
Now, what do you mean by quite a while?
Well,
how long?
At least a month or two before you see new growth. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to take a lot longer than that before you ever get a lot of, you know, healthy large leaves.
So I take it out of the
pod
container that it's in. Thank you.
Yeah.
And look for some good roots. Take off the bad roots. Put it in some new sphagnum moss.
I would put it in some bark mix.
Bark mix.
And then put it in a Ziploc bag if you can. And put some wet sphagnum moss inside of the bag so it provides moisture in a humid atmosphere around the plant.
Can I put it in a Ziploc bag?
Yeah, if you can get it in there and put some sphagnum moss around the outside of the pot, that'll provide a humid environment. And we don't want to water it, you know, at this point because it's just already had too much water.
All right, I tend to overwater sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jody, for calling. Mark in Green Bay, your turn now. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Sure.
Well, my heart really sunk when I heard you mention the ridges. I'm a frequent visitor up there, and through the decades, I've seen just an unbelievable amount of poaching of the native orchids up there. So could you just talk about the ethics of taking them out of, I mean, obviously it's wrong to do it, but my understanding is that these virtually never take anyway. So when people are trying to move them to their backyards, they end up with a dead orchid, and you've ruined the beauty of Door County in the process.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's not just a Door County problem, as you well imagine. It's all over the United States. People just love these beautiful flowering orchids, and they are indeed very delicate. And to try to transplant them to another location is almost certain to result in failure. There are local types of fungi that attack the roots in these orchids and make it possible the fungi themselves digest cellulose and the materials from the growing mix and produce sugars for the plant to grow. And so those fungi are just found in certain locations where those orchids are growing. And once you remove the orchid to another location, it's almost destined to fail, because those fungi will not be there to support the root growth. So it's an ecological matter. It's not like taking a plant, a Phalaenopsis orchid, in a pot and moving it to your home. It's not that situation at all. It's a delicate ecological balance that the orchids have with their entire ecosystem. And once you take it out of that system, forget about being, you know, having it survive. So absolutely, please don't remove native orchids from their environments. There are lots of places where you can buy native orchids from nurseries with instructions on how to grow them. So you don't need to take them out of the wild if you want to try to grow native orchids.
Okay. Oh, thanks a lot for your comments.
Thanks, Mark, for calling. Appreciate it. And let's see. Bob in Fort Atkinson, I think, is next. Bob, hi to you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I purchased my first Phalaenopsis the first orchid also last summer, and I have two questions. After it was done blooming, I had read one article that said cut it off below the first node, and then I did that, and then later on I read an article that said, no, you cut it off above the first node. So I'm concerned that I cut it off the wrong spot.
Well, if the old flower spike, which is green, is to rebloom, it will bloom at a node. So if you, and usually you'll find more than one node on
yes.
On the old flower spike. So if you cut it below a node, I'm assuming there will be another node below that from which it could flower. And what will happen if you do that is that most likely the flower spike will die back to the top of that next node.
It's in the process of doing that, yes.
Right. So ideally, cutting it above the node is good, but if you cut it below the node, then the next node down would be the one that would do the reblooming.
Okay. The other question I had is there's four very good-looking leaves on it. There's a new leaf that came out recently. And then there's what looks like a root coming up from the pot. Should I have repotted this after it bloomed? And is this a root, or is this the next spike coming out?
This is a Phalaenopsis, right?
Yes.
Do you know when it was last repotted?
No, I don't.
Okay. Then to be on the safe side, when it's done flowering, and you said it was done now, I believe, right?
Yes.
I would say any time is good to repot. And as I've mentioned to several other callers, when the first thing you want to do when you repot, of course, you want to have the new mix ready for it and the right pot size. And you want to check the roots, because there's always the potential for some root rot starting to set up, and you want to eliminate that by removing the rotted roots before you repot.
Oh. Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Wayne King of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison, our guest today as we visit with him about selecting and growing orchids. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking orchids today on this edition of Garden Talk with Wayne King of Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, member of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And, Wayne, the event you talked about earlier, you wanted to mention something else about
well,
that.
Well, yes. I was working off from a draft of the program, and we just learned that the program has been changed somewhat. So the open forum on orchid growing for Sunday, which was scheduled for 1 o'clock, has been moved to 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So anyone interested in that.
All righty. Let's go to Martha in Madison. Your turn now. Hi, Martha.
Hi. I love your program.
Thank you.
I love orchids. I don't have any, but this is a response to the gentleman who called with a question about his cornflower that reaches the ceiling.
Yes.
It sounds like a fascinating plant. I have something that is similar, and I have an idea about his. In the 80s, I bought a Hoya, H-O-Y or H-O-J-A, and it's quite viney. And it grew well. I took it to North Carolina in the 90s, put it outdoors on the wicker or the lattice front of my porch, and during the night it bloomed a lot. And at night it has a strong scent, and it would be moths would crowd around it taking nectar.
Mm.
And my feeling about and now I have it up in Wisconsin. During the time, I haven't repotted it. I do try to keep it wet. I mean, I water it thoroughly, but I don't keep it wet. In any case, it bloomed during the summer here in Wisconsin also in the house, and it has a strong scent as his corn plant. And I think that if he could put his outdoors in the summer, probably moths or some other insect would come to it, which would be a night scavenging insect.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's the same kind of thing,
yeah.
those which have a strong scent at night bring those critters that are out.
Well, thanks very much for calling. I think that corn plant is Dracaena fragrans, and if I'm not mistaken, and it too is a pretty plant. And thanks for the tip, Martha. Appreciate it very much. Patrick in Milwaukee, we go to you next. Hi, Patrick.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Good. This question is repetitious. I apologize. I have a Phalaenopsis plant that is doing nothing for me but producing, and I know I'm not going to, I technically don't know the name for it, but producing nothing but leaves for me.
Okay.
Root system is beautiful. I've got tons of beautiful green roots growing out of the pot, but nothing. I have no shoot coming out of that thing, and haven't for about a year.
And have you repotted or?
I have not repotted. It's in about a 4.5-inch pot with a bark type media.
Okay.
When you say that it's producing nothing but leaves, are you talking about leaves on a flower spike or just? On the base plant.
Just on the base plant.
Okay. So
I've got probably eight or nine of them now at this point.
Well, that's a very positive development because what you're doing is growing strength into that plant, which will give you a spectacular flowering when it does flower.
Okay.
You're coming into the flowering season. You said the plant is very healthy and lots of large, nice leaves on it. What I would suggest at this point, I don't know, as long as it's growing well, it doesn't sound like repotting is a high priority, but getting it to flower would be a higher priority.
Well, that's for sure.
So what I'm going to suggest is that you try a Bloom Booster fertilizer. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, actually, I do. Yeah.
Okay. Have you been using? Have you tried it at all?
I have not been. I've been using periodically, maybe bi-monthly, just a orchid, plain over-the-counter orchid fertilizer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would try going to as a first step. Try going to a Bloom Booster fertilizer. That would be one with a high middle number.
Sure.
And And don't give it any, you know, no other kind of fertilizer. Just give it a lot of the phosphorus for blooming and see if that kicks it into the blooming mode.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Pat. Appreciate the call. And when you talk about a lot, is that what would I assume there are directions on the label, so it's probably best to follow those.
Well, if it's an orchid food, and that would, you know, sometimes some labels indicate it's an orchid food, then what's given on the label would be appropriate. But if it's just a generic
high middle number,
then go to a high middle number. And again, I mentioned a quarter of a teaspoon per gallon, and that's, as a general rule, what ought to be used.
All right. Very good. Let's go to Donna in Eau Claire next. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I think you might have answered my question. I have an orchid that I received as a present, and it was blooming beautifully, and it's a healthy plant. I have not repotted it. It's in a rather small pot, probably about three inches in diameter, and the leaves are growing. It has, you know, it's had leaves, and then it has these little spikes that come off of it. I don't know what they're called, but I would like to get it to flower also.
Okay, and this is a Phalaenopsis orchid or a moth orchid, do you know?
I don't know for sure.
Are the leaves fairly rounded? Are they broader than they are long?
They're longer? Yes.
A 3-inch orchid, which is not a Phalaenopsis orchid, it doesn't have any pseudobulbs or canes or anything sticking up from the base, does it?
It did when it had a flower.
Okay, so it has flowered. Did you buy it in flower?
I received it when it was flowering.
Okay, and it hasn't flowered since.
That's correct.
And how long ago was that?
About a year and a half.
Okay. I'm going to assume for the moment it is a Phalaenopsis orchid because that's the most common type.
Okay.
And if so, you're coming into the blooming season now.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been repotted.
No.
You could repot it any time now. That would be fine. Take it out of the pot. Check the roots. Make sure if there's any mushy roots, you have to take them off. Because right now we want to be sure that you've got a healthy plant. You don't want it to start blooming on a weak plant.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to repot it in an orchid potting mix in a pot, probably a plastic pot, about the size that will easily accommodate the roots that are remaining if you have to, you know, remove any.
Okay.
And then proceed to use a bloom booster fertilizer on it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a high middle number and a quarter of a teaspoon per gallon. And let's see if we can get it restarted.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck, Donna. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. Jason in Milwaukee, you're next. Hi, Jason.
Hi. I have what I believe to be a Phalaenopsis orchid that I was setting in a south-facing window in the summer and fall, which was fine. I wasn't getting any direct sunlight. And then as the sun started dropping on the horizon, we missed it for a few days, and the leaves got direct sunlight. And one of the leaves, the largest leaf on the plant, got a hole right in the middle of it where it's a dead spot. But the rest of the leaf looks like it's doing all right. And I'm wondering, should I remove that leaf, or will it recover or on its own?
Well, at this point, it's a matter of aesthetics, I suppose. The remainder of the leaf will continue to photosynthesize and will produce energy for future growth. It obviously is not aesthetically pleasing to have a hole in the middle of the leaf, but that won't hurt anything as far as the future of the plant is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you can leave it on if you want.
All right, great.
All right.
If I was to cut it off, would I want to cut it off very close to the base, or, I mean, does it really matter?
Well, again, it's a matter of aesthetics. The plant, you know, it. Do you have a lot of leaves on it, on the plant?
Yes, it probably has about 5 or 6.
Okay,
and all fairly large leaves.
So you probably wouldn't even miss it if you cut it off close, you know, so that
cut
it's
it close
totally
to the base.
Gone, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jason. And Ron in Cleveland, Wisconsin. Your turn. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I have quite a few Phalaenopsis and Cattleyas, and I try to do the repotting on the cheap, and I used shredded cypress bark. And I can't say I've gotten the best results. The question is, I wonder if there's any inhibiting substances in the bark that would cause them not to grow, or is it just my general neglect?
I don't know. Here we're getting into wood chemistry, and there may be someone listening who knows more about that subject than I do. I know that in some of the woods, there are some oils that could interfere with growth, that could prove to be somewhat toxic to the plant. So if you're not, the practical advice I'd have for you is if you're not having good success in it, then move it to the standard orchid potting mix, which would be fir bark and probably charcoal and some perlite.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. And Ron in, I'm sorry, Taylor in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Taylor.
Hi. Hi, I've got, I've had a Miltonia for probably 4 years, and it did beautifully the first couple of years, but slowly has shrunk in size, and I'm wondering what kind of care do they need?
You know what? We'll take that up in just a few minutes. We're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll find out some more about that Miltonia and a whole lot more relating to orchids. You stay with us here on the Ideas Network. News coming up. Selecting and growing orchids on our mind today on this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest, orchid growing professional, Wayne King of Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, member of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison. Glad to have you along. Give us a call if you have a question. We've got some open lines at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Taylor in Madison had a question about, is it Miltonia? Is that the correct term, that orchid? And Wayne, what about it?
I assume that what you have is called a pansy orchid, Taylor?
Yeah.
Those are, in fact, in my opinion, one of the more difficult orchids to grow. The reason is that there's just all of the hybrids come from just a handful of species that grow in the cloud forests of Colombia, which means that ideally they like cool, very moist conditions. I've talked with some people who do extremely well, particularly on the West Coast with those plants, and they maintain 80% relative humidity at night in order to keep them going.
Wow.
The other thing is that they don't like heat, and they do not do well in the summers. I have heard success stories from scattered here and there from people who have air conditioning in the summer and keep them near the air conditioner and keep them moist, and have done okay with them. But it's not an easy plant to grow. Watch the heat. It likes moisture, but also when watering, you get water in the leaf axils. It is very subjective to brown rot, and once it gets that, it'll be gone.
Yeah, I've been putting it out for the summer, so it sounds like maybe that's a mistake. It did better this summer than usual. It actually sort of recovered, but maybe I've been running it down by leaving it out in the heat.
Well, it's possible. I mean, it kind of depends on where you have it outside. If you have it near the ground, which is the cooler area, if you have it fairly shaded so that it doesn't have the bright sunlight heating the leaves, that would help.
Yeah, it's on the north side of the house, so it's shaded quite a bit.
Yeah, and you say that you did this past summer, and it looks like it did a little better. Well, again, you can't argue with success, and you've got a spot there where it looks like it did well, so I would try to repeat that. But I would also add that if you haven't repotted it yet, to repot it in a mix that allows a lot of air to move through it, but also retains quite a bit of moisture.
Would Would a coconut hull mixture be a good mix for it?
Well, I haven't had a lot of success with coconut in growing, and I'm not sure if that's because the salt content builds up easily in that. I have had quite a bit of success just growing in perlite. And the reason is that that retains more moisture and also allows a fair amount of air to move through it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'll try that.
Give it a try, Taylor.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. 1-800-642-1234, our number if you want to join in, or 263-1890 in Madison. Marion in Mauston, you're next. Hi, Marion.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about some orchids that I've had for quite a few years, and the roots are coming out all around the outside of the pots, and I was wondering if that would make any difference, just letting them go their normal way, like they grow on trees and things like that, mm-hmm. or if they should be repotted.
Okay.
And if so, how?
Yeah,
right. How long have you had these plants?
Oh, I've had these plants about 6 years.
6 years, and no repotting during that time?
Just once I did it, about a year after I received them.
Okay. And have they flowered satisfactorily for you, done well?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, they're all in bloom right now. I have about five of them.
Okay.
And they're Phalaenopsis.
Okay. I would just make one suggestion then. I don't see that we have a problem to deal with here yet. What I would suggest is that you unpot one of the plants.
Yes.
And check the root system.
Uh-huh.
And if your roots all look healthy and there aren't any mushy ones there, then I would put the plant back in the pot and with the same mix and let it go.
Uh-huh.
My concern is that plants can look, really healthy and can do well. And then if they haven't been repotted for a number of years, the potting mix could be starting to break down and the roots starting to rot. So I would do a test plant, take one that maybe isn't in flower at the time,
okay,
and unpot it and check the root system before you repot it. And if it doesn't look good, if there's some mushy roots in there that you have to remove, then I would repot it with fresh mix. A fresh potting mix.
And then the others two are probably the same way.
And then possibly the others could be the same way, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Is there a way to grow an orchid from seed? There obviously has to be a way, but can the average person do it?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it for the average person. As an average person myself, I have tried it. It's fun, but it involves sterile technique, similar to the kinds of techniques that you'd use in growing bacteria on agar plates.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a special agar mix with growth chemicals in it that you can purchase in powder form, and you mix it in with water, and then you put it into bottles and you sterilize it. There's a whole sterile process involved here, and the high likelihood of getting contamination whenever you do that is there, and so it's tricky.
But you've done it.
I've done it. It can be done by us average people.
Okay, Stephen Appleton. I don't think you're really average though. Stephen Appleton, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a Phalaenopsis that has been blooming constantly for about 6 months. And I was wondering if it's possible for it to bloom itself to death. The reason I ask is because I'm getting some yellowing of the leaves.
Okay. How large a plant is it?
Oh, it's a pretty good size plant.
Pretty good size plant.
I would say that the leaves are easily, over 12 inches long.
And how many leaves about?
Right now I have five.
Okay. And one of them is starting to yellow?
Yes, two of them. One of the larger of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a group of seven blossoms, and then they faded, and then another group of seven blossoms came shortly after, and now two of those have faded, and I have three more buds at the end of the spike.
Okay, so the additional flowering is coming off from the same spike?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It just keeps going and going and going.
That commercial, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. If your leaves, now, let me ask you one more question, and that is about repotting. Has it been repotted in recent times?
No, not to my knowledge, no.
So
I've only had it since July, and it's been blooming since then.
Okay, and so there's no way of knowing, you know, before you got it when it was repotted. So
yeah, that's correct.
Could have been in there quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it is possible for a plant to greatly be weakened by continually flowering. In your case, though, I think the first thing I would do, because we don't know when it was last repotted, mm-hmm. is take it out of the pot and check the root system.
Okay.
And if the roots are fine, I'd repot it with a new fresh potting mix so you don't have to repot it again for a while.
Okay.
And then see what happens, because my biggest concern, rather than blooming itself to death, would be that you might have some things going on with your roots that you want to take care of.
Okay.
as a higher priority.
All right, I have a second Phalaenopsis it just started a new spike, and I have been feeding that one when it was finished blooming. But is it wise or unwise to feed an orchid while it's in bloom?
Depends on what you feed it. The fertilizers that have high first numbers on them,
yes,
high nitrogen content,
nitrogen, yeah.
Yeah, that promotes growth. If what you're having is you're in a blooming cycle and you want the plant to flower, then I would switch over completely to the bloom booster, which is the high middle number.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it, Steve. And Karen in Milwaukee, I think we turn to you next. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I have two questions. I have grown orchids for years, and I have wonderful luck with my Phalaenopsis, but I do have some cymbidiums and dendrobiums. And one question I have is, in the summer, I tend to put all of my orchids out on our porch, which is a three-season porch. It gets a lot of sun, but part of the day it's direct and part of the day it's not. And then I bring them in and they're wonderful. But I think the cymbidiums end up with a lot of little black spots on the leaves. Does that mean they're getting too much sun out there? Not big burn spots, but little bitty black spots.
Yeah, it could either be sunburn with too much light.
Okay.
Or it could be a fungus.
Okay.
That's affecting the leaves. And so,
and what would I do about that?
With the fungus, you can go to your garden center,
mm-hmm.
and find, and just about any fungicide would work. I've actually have used a copper fungicide for a situation like that. Now, be aware that if you do use a fungicide, you're probably not going to affect the existing leaves.
Okay.
What it will do is prevent recurrence and passage on to new leaves as they start coming out.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know what you're talking about with the cymbidiums. I've had some that it's really quite irritating because they seem to get this, I call it spotting,
mm-hmm.
dark spotting,
mm-hmm.
every year, and the only thing I've been able to do to take care of it is to treat it with a fungicide such that at the time the new growth is coming, the new growth is healthy.
Okay, I appreciate that. My second question, though, is related to splitting of orchids. I have tried it myself with no success. I usually end up killing them. But now I have a dendrobium that's beautiful, and I'm not going to try and split it, but it's probably 4 feet tall and 3 feet wide. And it's very old. I probably have it for 15 years or so. But some point in the past, it probably should have been split.
Well, again, it's a matter of personal preference. Some people like what we call specimen plants, and these are plants that do get very big, but when they flower, they're really spectacular, but they take up a lot of space at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And you have a plant that is well-established, has proven itself, And the fate of that plant, once it's divided, is kind of up in the air.
Okay.
I mean, usually you can do it successfully by dividing it, but then you have to be careful the time of year when you divide it.
Okay.
The plant, if you were to divide it, you'd want to do it at a point in time when the plant is sending out new growth and new roots.
Okay.
So that the new divisions get a chance to get established with the new growth.
But it's not harmful in any way not to divide it.
No, as long as you don't mind, you know, the plant is healthy and you don't mind the space
besides,
being taken up. And
okay.
So on. Sure, it's fine.
That was my only concern, is maybe they should have been divided, but it's a beautiful plant and it blooms beautifully. So
don't divide it.
I'm not going to touch it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Garrett. Thanks a lot for calling. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Open lines get you on right away. And, Wayne, I know that relating to Orchid Quest, coming up the 3rd and 4th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, we've talked about the orchid displays, we've talked about the orchids and orchid supplies for sale from vendors. You've mentioned a couple of talks and educational experiences that people are going to share. Anything else there in the way of educational information?
Well, there are a couple of programs that I have on my draft, let me put it that way. And there's a program about mid-afternoon on Saturday, February 3rd, on jewel and painted leaf orchids.
Oh.
For people who like to grow for the foliage particularly.
Hmm.
There's quite a number of those that people like to grow. So if that sounds like that would be something appealing to you, that would be good and interesting. And then there's also a program on Sunday, early afternoon, possibly as early as 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be one for Taylor if he could make it. And that's Cool Growing Orchids for Your Home is the subject.
Oh.
So that would particularly apply to the Miltonias, but many others as well.
Yeah. You mentioned painted leaf orchids, and I don't know anything about those. Tell us a little about those.
Well, they're orchids that have just beautifully veined leaves. Some are dark green with red veins. Some are lighter green with white veins. But they're reticulated veining with a, you know, kind of the veining going throughout, and then the flowers are rather insignificant. For the most part, they're small white, you know, in a cluster on the plant. Now, people grow them primarily because they're just beautifully leaved plants,
mm-hmm.
and grow them like a house plant. And if they flower, fine, but that's not why you're growing them primarily.
And if you were going to pick an orchid for its scent, which orchids are among the most scented that provide that kind of nice?
Well, I have a bias there anyway, but I would pick one of the Cattleya orchids.
Okay.
And they're almost, without exception, they are scented orchids. And the color range is enormous, although most of them are white to lavender. Nowadays, there are pinks. There are some that even come close to being blue and yellow. So there's quite a color range, and they're all fragrant.
Has the field of technology, biotechnology or whatever, hit the orchid industry as well? Are we seeing a lot of that sort of advancement coming from that area?
Absolutely. There's a lot being done on genetic analysis of plant genomes, and a lot of plants are being reclassified because they're more closely related to some other orchid after mm-hmm. they take a look at the genetic composition. And then also, of course, one of the big boons to help bring prices down in with orchids is miracloning. And there's massive amount of miracloning going where a plant tissue is divided and you end up with clones, and literally millions of plants are being produced. And for the the orchid grower and the orchid aficionado, you can now get Phalaenopsis and other orchids for like $10 or $15 in flower, which is really new.
Yeah, that's quite a bit different from years back. So that, what about color? That's the other thing I was interested in, the variety of colors in orchids. Is that a lot of that result of breeding, or is it wild?
Yeah, a lot of it results from breeding, but also in the wild, there also is enormous range of colors. Take the area of Phragmopediums, which are South American lady slippers. Most of them in the past have been green, and mm-hmm. the green side.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the 80s, they discovered a red one in the wild, which was very different, and a lot of hybrids have been made from that to breed reds into the lady slippers. And then just in the past few years, a very large red lady slipper has been found in South America.
Oh.
And they've been able to work out a system for exporting it under very controlled conditions. And now that is being also bred into other Phragmopediums. So, yeah, that we're constantly discovering new orchids with new colors and producing new colored hybrids at the same time with those.
Hey, interesting. Stephanie in Oshkosh, let's give you a chance now. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I was just wondering, I am very interested in Zygopetalums as a genus, and I was wondering how hard are they to grow in the home?
Well, there are people that I talk to that have no trouble with them at all. I have had a lot of trouble with them. And in fact, I tend to avoid them. I can't even tell you exactly why I have trouble with them. But my impression is that they should be grown fairly similar to the way Cymbidiums are grown.
Okay.
And if you grow Cymbidiums well, you might well have good luck with Zygopetalums. You don't see a lot of them at shows. I'm not sure what that means, whether it means that people just aren't all that interested in growing with them, or people do have, like I do, some trouble with them.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Stephanie. Appreciate it very much. To go back to the Orchid Quest for a minute, and let's talk pricing on this. Now, there's a small charge for coming to the event. And
yeah,
so forth.
Actually, there are different price depending on whether you want to go for one day or for two. One day is $6. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't include parking. There's parking fee on the grounds mm-hmm. of Alliant Energy Center. Or if you want to go both days, that's only $9. So you save some money per day by going for 2 days.
And again, the time on it starts when and goes to when?
It's 10 to 5 each day.
10 to 5.
The 3rd and the 4th of February.
A week from this coming Saturday.
Right. Got it.
Finally, at the end of the, nearing the end of the program, I got it right. Wayne, thank you so much. I will say from personal experience, it's a wonderful event. You would be hard-pressed to walk away from that event without purchasing something. And we have, I think every time we've gone, we bought something and had some wonderful luck with it. Wayne King of Cottage Grove, member of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison, our guest. And again, it's Saturday and Sunday, February 3rd and 4th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Exhibition Hall at the Alliant Energy Center. Coming up a week from today on our Garden Talk, Shelley Ryan will be joining me, and we'll talk gardening, of course, with her, and also we'll talk a little bit about Garden Expo that's coming up the week after Wayne's event. That'll be the 9th, 10th, and 11th of February, and that'll be at the same place. So we'll look forward to that. Shelley and I will both be there, and you'll have a chance to talk with us as well. We'll talk some more about that. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.